Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, especially these words. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, when I was reading this text this week, I was reminded of a similar situation, at least it reminded me, of this situation here in the gospel that Jesus and his disciples face, and with a Twilight Zone episode I saw years ago. I think it was something like the Quiet Valley or the Silent Valley or something like that. It takes place during the Civil War, and it's basically begins with a group of Confederate soldiers, and the commander orders one of the soldiers to go down into town to spy on the Union Army that's marching through there to see their size and everything. And so he goes down there, and when he gets closer to town, the sound of marching gets louder and louder and louder all the time. Until finally he's almost inside the town, and the sound of marching stops completely. Perfect silence. And he kind of turns around a building, and he sees the entire Union Army frozen solid. They just stopped in time. And he goes around them. He can't figure out what's going on. Finally, he comes across this man with a book, and the man turns out to be some kind of witch, and he has cast this spell on this Union Army. And he says, "Oh, I can do it anytime I want." And he goes, "Well, why don't you just do this to the entire Union Army, and then we'll win?" And he goes, "Well, I would, but I'm going to die tonight." He goes, "But you can have the book, and you can do it." And so this Confederate soldier takes the book and goes back to his commanding officer, who, of course, doesn't believe him. So they send more troops in there to see that it's exactly as he said. And the commanding officer gets the book and opens it up, and he's going to use it, but he sees that to use this, he would have to not just worship Satan, but he'd also have to reject God. And so after a while, he just throws it on the fire and lets it burn. And he says, "If the Confederacy is going to die, at least let us have a hallowed tomb." And then at the end, Rod Serling says, and then those troops were called up the next day to a little town in Pennsylvania called Gettysburg. So it's a nice story, okay, of a group of people who were tempted to make a deal with the devil and to reject God, and didn't do it. What reminded me of that, of the text here, is simply because this community does the exact opposite. They've made a deal with demons, and they reject God when he comes into their midst. It's kind of a shocking way that we see them reacting to Jesus, and yet it's understandable when we see how much fear is around this text, and in fact, the text before this. Jesus and the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee. Then a storm comes up, and it says the disciples were afraid. Well, then Jesus calms the storm. Well, once he calms the storm, now they're terrified. And finally, they get across the Sea of Galilee and onto dry land, and they're all happy. Whew, we got away from that. Now everything's going to be, you know, smooth sailing. Well, not really. Now, the disciples had no idea what was coming, but the pig herders did. Because those guys herding pigs up on the hill knew about this community and knew what the reality was. It must have seemed kind of strange to Jesus because there's no one there. I mean, he sees a road that goes into town, but there's nobody there. There's a cemetery, there's a hill, there's some pigs, and then there is a pig herders. Now, the pig herders are watching what's happening. And, of course, what they expected to happen all along happens. The demoniac comes running at Jesus, seemingly to attack him and the disciples. Instead, he throws himself down at Jesus' feet, and he starts begging for mercy. He's terrified. He's terrified for the exact opposite reason that the disciples had been in the Sea of Galilee. They were terrified when Jesus calmed the storm because they don't understand that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, these people, these demons within this man, are terrified of Jesus because they do know he's the Son of God. And they beg for him not to punish them. And they say, it's not our time yet. In other words, they're fully aware that a time is coming when they will be punished, but he says, now's not the time. And they beg to be sent into these pigs, because the one thing they don't want to be is outside of a body where they can cause as much problem as possible. Even a herd of pigs would be better than nothing. He sends them into the herd of the pigs. The herd of pigs run down a cliff and drown. Now the pig herders, it says, flee into town to tell them what had happened. And the entire town comes out and respectfully asks Jesus to leave. Now, that seems awfully strange. Oftentimes we say, well, it had to be economic reasons, right? They lost all this money because this herd of pig was worth a lot of money to these people. And they lost it all, and so they're asking Jesus to leave. Well, if that's the case, then the pig herders and the people who owned the pigs would have asked them to leave. The entire town asks them to leave, and they give the reason why. It says because they were terrified. Not terrified, by the way, of the guy who was possessed by all these demons. That they learned to live with. Isn't it amazing how human beings have a capacity to live with horrible situations? As long as there's just no change, everything's fine. I'll get used to it. They're not afraid of this guy. They had a deal with him, right? As long as you stay in the cemetery, everything's fine. It says they're terrified of the man who has been healed and is now in his right mind. That's what terrifies them. And also they're terrified of the person who healed him. More than anything else, they're terrified of change. The Apostle John, in his first letter, spoke these words, which is describing these people perfectly. He says, we know that we are of God, and yet the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Not like everybody outside of the Christian faith is possessed, but they are oppressed by Satan. And the first sign of sin, the first manifestation that comes from sin, and that oppression, is fear. Adam and Eve committed the first sin. What did they do? They ran away and hid from God because they were afraid. And that's why this text is so incredibly important for us. Because first of all, it shows us where we would be if it wasn't for the grace of God. Not perhaps possessed by the devil, but certainly oppressed, and just as John describes here, held sway by the evil one. That would be our situation. Asking God to leave us, used to the status quo, and no matter how bad it is, and wanting nothing to change. But God loved us too much to leave us in the status quo, and so he did something about it. He sent his Son, that Son gave his life on a cross, and that Son has risen from the dead to live in our lives today, so that we might be set free just as much as this guy was, who at the end is sitting at Jesus' feet, begging to follow him. We sit at Jesus' feet and we do follow him, and we also follow what Jesus tells this poor man who has been set free. Go out and tell about your freedom and tell about how you received your freedom. I thank God that he has given us freedom in Jesus Christ, so Satan has no power over us. A freedom to know our sins are forgiven, a freedom to know that we are children of God by grace, and a freedom to share that good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen.